Fellas, I am hearing you in HD. This is the Melomancy Podcast, episode 125, and my name is Dylan.
I'm Rick.
We did it together.
I'm leaving that in.
Fuse.
So let me explain. So I went on a bit of an adventure this last weekend. So for those at home, maybe listening to our podcast like some kind of godforsaken time capsule to the year 2026. It is currently the 29th of May in the year of our Lord 2026. It's almost June. There's almost news, but we're not there yet.
Year's halfway over. Hell yeah.
But the Summer Games Fest and all the important shows are like right around the corner. I can't fucking wait. But this last weekend was a holiday weekend. It was Memorial Day, right? So we had 3 days off. You know, my kids had a day off from school. I had a day off from work. It was nice. But do you know what I decided to do on those 3 days?
Did you decide to bet this motherfucker on NBA Jam?
No. So I bought a new music player. I decided it's time to finally start the Spotify cord cutting adventure. And I actually monologued my adventure on Shitposter World, if anyone wants to actually go read it. I'll link it in the show notes. But I have this tub full of CDs, music CDs. And I ripped every last one of them to my computer. Now, some of them were already there, copied from, you know, time in memoriam as from computer to computer.
Hold on a second, Dylan. We might have some Zoomers in the crowd who don't know what ripping a CD means.
Oh, fuck. You're right. Shit. Oh, okay. So back in the day.
Man, you should find a filter to play overlay during this part.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to turn on the fucking soundboard. I'm going to do that right now. Hold on. We're good. All right, so...
Yes.
So, there I was. On Friday night, I got the bin out of the garage. I started... that bell ringing lasts a really long time. What the hell? Anyway, I ripped every one of those CDs. And what ripping a CD really means is like... For the youngins in the audience, that's where you plug a CD, a compact disc, right? Those little circular things that video games sometimes come on if you have a PS5 or an Xbox Series X, right? or whatever they have in your time. And we used to get music on those, and we had these things called CD players that would just play it for you into your headphones. Those were superseded by MP3 players, which is a really specific file format, which was then replaced by the iPod, which then was superseded by the iPhone, right? And then Androids are a thing. Don't worry about that. But ripping a CD is when you take the music off of the CD and turn it into a file. And it's like, that's dumb. Why don't you just copy paste it like a USB stick? It doesn't fucking work that way. Because it's an image. It's like a literal picture, like a disc image, like literally all the weird little etches that are invisible to the naked eye that is on the back of a DVD or a CD. That is the image of the CD. And getting the files out of that is a complicated process that the software handles for you. Similarly, if you have a rewritable disc and you want to put something on that disc, it's called burning a CD. And it does not involve actual fire.
It involves lasers.
I was going to say lasers, though, yeah. Close enough.
Exactly. If you've ever seen how a vinyl record is made, it's like that, but instead of razor blades, it's lasers. But unlike vinyl records, CDs degrade. They do not last forever. And there was a couple CDs, specifically Destiny CDs from a long time ago, like the Lizzie McGuire soundtrack, that did not, unfortunately, work. But
damn, unfortunate.
So unfortunate. But no, I have quite the collection, and it didn't stop there. So like, and I'll get to why in a minute, but if I go, like, I have like I had a few Machine Supremacy albums. I had
I didn't know they even did physical.
Yeah, I had some old ones.
Damn. Okay.
I had a couple albums from Metallica. I had the NERD CD, which you may know from that one song from Need for Speed.
Yeah.
I had a Combi Christ album.
I should listen to some Need for Speed videos on YouTube again, because fucking Forza, it made me feel nostalgia.
Oh yeah. I have Forza installed on my Xbox. I haven't tried it yet, but like, it's on Games Pass, so I was like, fuck,
I mean, don't you want to race a Gundam?
I do.
It looks fun, but the Steam version of the game is borked to hell and back, and I can't play it. So it's going to rot in my Steam library, I guess.
As is tradition, we have to have at least one borked launch for all video games these days. One platform can't work.
I know I'm tangenting a tiny bit here, but like, what is up with the Steam releases of games lately being like either entirely missing the point? Like, I would throw Pee Wee 2 into the bus a little bit here. Like, they didn't they did the preload like an hour before launch, which is enough time if you get a decent computer, decent internet, or you woke up in enough time. But otherwise, you could torrent the launcher off their website like 2 days early, and on consoles they had a preload that was like 3 days early. It's like, bro, Steam literally just made a tool for this. What the fuck are you doing? Sorry,
but preloading digital downloads. This past weekend I went on a bit of a trip, you know, to the old school way, right? But I'll let you get back to Steam in a second. But like, hear me out. So,
yeah. I'm gonna let you finish in a second, Taylor.
I'm gonna let you finish. But so you might be wondering why the hell am I ripping all this music all of a sudden? Well, one, Spotify, right? So I used to be a big fan of Spotify. On this very podcast, I would sing its praises and be like, I think it's worth paying for, right? I've changed my mind. Right. Like it's the quality's gone down. The lossless audio that they rolled out isn't really lossless. The files take way too much fucking space on my phone when I save them. And they keep jacking up the price. And not only that, like some bands have left the platform in protest. Now, it's not anything I listen to. I guess the most prominent band that's left in protest is probably King Gizzard the Wizard Lizard. But not only did King Gizzard the Wizard Lizard leave Spotify, a AI-generated mockery of that band has taken its place and is being advertised to its former listeners. And it's not being disclosed that it's AI. I mean, it probably is somewhere, but like...
No, actually, that's the problem I'm having with Spotify right now, is they do not disclose if something is AI or not. You do not have to. And okay, like, we're not giant AI haters here, you know.
I love AI. No, but like, I'd like to know...
But it's like, it's one of those like buyer beware moments. It's like, sometimes that music like sounds like shit. And if I end up liking a song, because, you know, some AI music's fucking awesome. And then I go to listen and I realize every fucking track this band has is the same. And because I liked one, now it's going to recommend me all of them. And now I'm fucking stuck with that. My recommendations for like a month or two. And it's like, God damn it, man. I keep getting this. You know what? I don't even give a shit. I'll name drop them.
Do it.
There's a... A guy named DSYM, D-S-Y-M, I think it was, or D-Y-S-M, something like that. And I think for a little bit, his music wasn't AI. And then he started using AI to, like, do vocals over his music. And now he's doing it for his guitar riffs. And I started to realize, like, I was listening to some of his early shit. And I was like, oh, God, this is awesome. This is amazing. And even some of the vocal stuff was kind of neat. I was like, oh, this is different. And then all of a sudden, he starts pumping out full-blown albums every week. And I'm like, all right, brother, there's something going on here.
Uh-huh.
And then all of the music from that point on just started this, like every album started sounding the exact same. I'm like, this is just boring to listen to. But because I'd already liked some of his earlier shit, now you fucking Spotify, fucking, and it just is like, come on, this just sucks now. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be nice if I could be like, yo, please don't recommend me AI music. And if I find it on my own, whatever, and I like it, if I like it, whatever. But Spotify doesn't have any tools for that. They just genuinely don't. Which, you know, speaking of Steam, Steam having those is nice.
Yeah, I'll bring that up later. I have actually an anecdote about that.
Spotify does have, like, so few tools for actually filtering things.
That's true, yeah.
I have an actual anecdote that goes along with this. So it was clicking on that's the thing we do with the mouse, but... I guess with my finger on the phone, whatever. I was tapping. That's the word I was looking for.
There you go.
Tapping on my playlist, which was the only thing, because you know how it's got like the little two columns at the very top of the app of things you've most recently listened to. So that was the only thing up there. And then it started auto-playing a podcast. Destiny. Not the one that we know, but the other one.
Oh, the one, the guy.
The one that, yeah... Yes, the one that got briefly unbanned for all of like 6 hours or whatever.
The guy with the allegations.
Yeah. I was like, right. I've never once listened to a podcast on Spotify. Why would that be the thing that you think I want to play?
I know. And why that guy? Like, what the hell?
Well, because they are signal boosting him. Basically, they're trying to ride the coattails of the fact that he's got an audience, even though he's banned from Twitch.
I guess that's fair.
And when, well, whatever his name is in the news, he gets pretty popular, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. But yeah, long story short, Spotify fucking sucks now. And I've been using it for so long, it's like kind of hard to break the habit. Like, I've been really fortunate to already have a sizable CD collection, right? So, like, and also some downloads that I've picked up over time. Like, I was a big fan of OC Remix back in the day. I still am, right? And all of their music is free. And so I have a bunch of OC Remix tracks as well. And like, you put these things together and it's a pretty sizable library, but there's still some stuff that I discovered on Spotify that I never had the physical copy of. And so to rectify this, I did two things. First, I went to Barnes & Noble. I don't know if they have those in Canada, Victim. It's like a bookstore.
Yeah, we got them. Okay.
Well, it's the only bookstore in America.
Yeah.
They all, made sure of that.
All the other ones went out of business.
Well, actually, they didn't make sure of it.
Right. And so at Barnes & Noble, they have everything there. It's not just a bookstore. It's primarily a bookstore. But they had a CD rack, and I picked up... I mean, it's mentioned in the thread that I'll link in the show notes, but I picked up like the first three Sleep Token albums of the four. I got like a Shaggy album. I got I got a Fleetwood Mac album or two. I don't recall. And a few others that stood out, which, you know, fantastic. Right. But then the day after, I put a cart together, which I ended up finally purchasing like the other day. But like, I put a cart together on Bandcamp of about $180 worth of music, which was mostly stuff that I would listen to on Spotify that I just did not have before. Several albums of Buried Alive. I got the Risk of Rain 2 soundtrack from Chris Christodoulou. What else did I get? I got some Pachinko songs, which if you know their story, it's really funny. They're just this band that got famous without knowing that they were famous because it was like a one and done experimental album thing at a local store, and then they went on with their lives, and then somebody uploaded it to 4chan. I was like, what is this melody? It's so beautiful. What is this band doing now? And then they found out they were famous later, and they started touring again. Lovely. Crazy. Crazy thing. So I got their albums. There's two of them, because they made another one when they returned. And then I got... I feel like I got one other thing, and I cannot fucking remember what it was. But like, $180 later, I now have a sizable collection of the stuff that I used to listen to on Spotify, as well as my own CD collection, which is a lot of the stuff I listen to on Spotify anyway. By those powers combined, I have a sizable collection. And then the reason I did this last weekend is because the weekend prior, I got some devices in the mail that I had ordered. So for Destiny, I ordered the Ineosis Y1, which for all intents and purposes looks like an iPod, right? Like, it looks like one, but it's really thin. It's got 128 gigs of onboard storage, which is pretty good for an iPod, right? And it has USB-C, which is, you know, the golden standard. I'd be pretty unhappy if it wasn't USB-C. And then the device that I'm using to listen to you right now is the Snow Sky Echo, which kind of looks like a cassette player. But what's cool is that it doubles as a DAC, a digital analog converter. So what's going on right now is I have a USB-C cable going from my computer to the Snow Sky Echo. And then I got some new headphones, in-ear monitors is what they're called. They're basically earbuds, but they're fancy, right? Ooh. I got the Moondrop Aria 2. It's that brand that has the cute anime girls on all their boxes. And holy shit, it sounds so fucking good. It's like, I have like the bass that I've come used to from like Sony headphones and the Nothing headphones. But like, there's lots of treble as well. It's like, it's very balanced. So like, I can hear other parts of music that is normally kind of muffled. It's really lovely, and I use it almost exclusively now to listen to things. Like, I still have my wireless Nothing earbuds, which is good for my phone because I can't use the DAC on my phone for some reason. That's my phone's fault, not the DAC's fault. It's a nice little setup, and so I've got new headphones in my ear. You guys are coming through in HD. It's got the gigantic balance cable that's got like the four rings on it, right?
Nice.
It's actually got an interchangeable tip. I could use regular, but like there's two audio jacks on the Snow Sky Echo, so I'm like, hell yeah, I'm gonna use the balance cable. And it's just I'm hearing it a better quality than Spotify ever gave. And now I own all my music, and I'm basically clear to reduce my Spotify to the free tier, because they're just going to jack the prices up anyway. And now I don't need it on the go. And if I'm at my desk, like, why even use Spotify when there's YouTube anyway, right? Or or just pump my own tunes in the damn Echo. I'm living the good life now with the audio. And that is, it took all 3 days of the holiday weekend to actually rip all that music. I got pictures in that thread on Shitposter World where the stack on my desk, and I think, Rick, you actually saw the stack developing in person.
Yes.
Briefly.
I did.
Last weekend when you came over, like, that stack got a lot taller before I was done. And there were four stacks, but it's finally over and I can just listen to music now. The only thing that pisses me off is that I went through and I favorited a bunch of songs on the Snow Sky Echo because it has like a certain UI, right? Because it looks like a cassette player, so it has to match the buttons. I made a bunch of favorites, and then when I downloaded those songs on Bandcamp and added them to my device, it wiped my favorites. I have to go re-favorite a bunch of songs, and that sucks.
At least part of the Spotify experience is still there.
Yeah. But the InnieOasis Y1 is a real champion. Destiny's pretty happy with it. We got it paired to her car for Bluetooth, but it also works with her headphones, and it had enough space for all of our music. And with lots left over. And also the UI, like, it's just Rockbox, which is made for iPods. Like, they forked it and they made it for the Y1 as well. So if you're accustomed to the customized iPod experience with Rockbox, you're gonna get that all the same with the Y1. And it has the scroll, like, with the circular motion as well. Like, other iPod knockoffs have that too, but like, you click the button, you don't actually do the spin. This one does the spin.
Ooh, all your stuff's so fancy now, Dylan.
Like Steve Jobs intended.
May he rest in peace.
And yeah, enough about music. How you guys been?
All right. We finally got a house to move into.
Really?
And now I'm fucking worried, though, because I only got two outlets.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
So I got to figure that one out.
Well, one of them will be your power strip, and the other one will be your through-the-wire Ethernet, right?
That's the plan.
When are you planning on getting the move done?
I think we don't have to technically be moved in until July, early, like probably like somewhere between like July over the 1st and the 5th, probably.
Sounds like you might miss some episodes.
Maybe.
What are we gonna do without Vic?
We'll be fine.
I'll probably only be out of commission for like a couple days, but.
Oh yeah, fair. It doesn't necessarily mean you're gonna miss a day.
I don't know.
That's pretty awesome though. But yeah. I have a bunch of other topics to go over, though, thankfully. So I don't have a segue, so I'm just going to pick one.
Sounds good.
Let's talk about the Steam Deck. So as you know, the Steam Deck is not... Well, I can't even say that. I was going to say it's not sold out anymore because they added them back, but they like raised the price by like almost double. Because if you recall, the Steam Deck was an affordable device. Like, the cheapest model was like $500, and then the other ones were slightly more for more storage. Well, now the 1 terabyte model, $300 more expensive, to a whopping $949 American, which is like $2,000 Canadian, right?
A lot of money.
That's a lot of money, right? And I thought the story was going to be, wow, I can't believe Valve did that. The market is really that rough. Maybe they should have just kept it off the shelves. People are, you know, worried for their reputation or just calling them out. Those motherfuckers sold out anyway. They're sold out again. There were enough people lined up to pay that price for a Steam Deck.
It's like Gabe knew.
It's like he knew. And you know what? I kind of get it. It's a really good device. I love mine. I use it all the time. But like, I would not buy a Steam Deck at that price. I have a lot of thoughts on that. Because like, yeah, sure, it's a capable handheld Linux computer. That is like kind of worth it all on its own. Right. But like at that price, especially with all the moves that Xbox is making right now, you would have been better off with the Xbox ROG Ally X. Now, on this very podcast, I bitched and moaned about how difficult it was to set up an Xbox ROG Ally, not the X version, for my son. That's mostly Windows just being a piece of shit, right? But like,
yeah.
After I got it going, it's really premium. And it plays Steam all the same. It does Steam chat, Steam voice. I bet you could install Discord on it. It would be all the same, but I'm not going to do that to him. But like, the device is fine. It's absolutely fine. And then the souped up version has better like stats than the Steam Deck. But like, it's $1,000 already. But that's just $50 more than the 1 terabyte model for the Steam Deck now. So now they're comparable in price. Whereas before it's like, oh my God, get a Steam Deck. The Xbox ROG Ally X is so expensive. Now, if we're saying they're the same price, it's like, well, the ROG Ally X is a better deal, straight up. And that hurts to say. It really does.
It is kind of wild. I mean, I get it. I mean, realistically, the tech market's fucked up right now, regardless of anything, right? But
yeah,
I'm surprised Steam of all people. I mean, I guess it really just shows how bad it is.
I know. It's like they're probably doing this as a test run to see about delaying the Steam machine even further. Because like, if the reaction is really negative, even if they sold out, if the PR is that bad, maybe they'll keep delaying it. Right.
Well, yeah, because like, think about it this way, right? Like, a lot of the people that bought it may have been people that bought it out of like the FOMO, right? They already knew it sold out before. It's gonna probably do it again. Oh shit! It's way more expensive. Ah, fuck, whatever. I'll throw it on the credit card and just bite the bullet. You know, like how many people were like that?
Oh yeah.
And now they're still pissed off, even though they did buy it. They own one, they like it, but they're still mad. They're still weary or otherwise, right? So.
It's really unfortunate. And I still don't know what I'm going to do. Like, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait, right? Because the beginning of June is next week. It's right around the corner. We're going to have, you know, the new E3, the Summer Games Fest, as well as an Xbox showcase, a PlayStation showcase, and probably some other shit, right? I am expecting the Xbox showcase or Summer Games Fest to reveal the new Xbox console, right? They keep teasing it. I think they're going to give us an announcement. But here, I want to know more about it because it's like, do I wait and get one, or is it so unaffordable and not an improvement enough that I just get the Series X and wait? Because I would like a Blu-ray player in my living room. I have moved the PS5. It's not coming back. In fact, I think I should sell it. Like, I'm considering selling the PS5 because I don't want to use it anymore. My son doesn't really care about it. I mean, I moved it into his room because he cared about it more than the Xbox. But like, turns out that wasn't a platform problem. That was more of a distance of the TV from his bed problem.
Right?
And he just didn't know how to tell me. And so it didn't really get much better by putting the PS5 in there. So I would like to get some kind of new Xbox for the living room, whether I wait for Project Helix or I get the Series X. Is to be determined. But then I'll put the Series S in his room and then we'll just be all Xbox for consoles. And I really want to know if the Helix is just a Windows PC for gamers that has Steam. If it is, perfection. I'm getting one, right? If not, it's got to have some really good features to justify, because honestly, graphics is such a diminishing return. The Series X is the only thing you need, like power-wise. Like, it can handle anything you throw at it. Just like my computer, which is more powerful than the Series X. So it's like, with the power of the Steam Deck, I can just stream, or I can just play on my goddamn computer. But like, for the living room, the Xbox experience is pretty sweet. I've covered it before on this very show, but like, I would like a beefier one that has a disc drive so I can watch Blu-ray movies again. And also, I want to hit up garage sales and retro game stores and buy physical copies of old Xbox games that way I could then play on the Series X because it's backwards compatible. So there's lots to look forward to, but like, all I can do right now is wait. But this news with Steam does not bode well. It does not bode well. I am just not on it with the segues today. It's a bad segue day.
No, yeah, all good.
Speaking of not boding well, IGN has delivered another 10 out of 10 score, but it looks like a good game. What is this world that we're living in? Like, so last episode, IGN had just given out a 10 out of 10 score for this bullshit video game mixtape that we covered in our last episode, right? But like, we expect that kind of bullshit from IGN. Recently, from the developers of Shovel Knight, a new game, Mina the Hollower, came out. IGN gave it a 10 out of 10. But this game actually looks fun, and it's like obviously a game. And I've seen really obnoxious discourse online about the game, right? Like, there's some people who just are like, oh yeah, IGN gave it a 10 out of 10. I guess it sucks. I'm not buying it. And it's like, I understand that IGN is the enemy, right? But like, if you look at Mixtape and you look at Mina the Hollower and their scores, and you're like, ah, these are not video games, you are so lost. Mixtape is obviously bullshit. It's obviously not a game.
Yeah.
Mina the Hollower is such a video game ass video game. I'm kind of surprised IGN scored it well. It looks like something they would give a bad score to.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that we got to keep in mind, right, and I think this is a solid rule of thumb, and obviously I'm not expecting people to go fucking read what, who, which IGN reviewer they picked for which game all the time anyways. But, like, it's something to keep in mind is that you can't take the scores at face value when they're negative or positive because they have different people reviewing these games.
I know.
Truth be told, just fucking forget that IGN exists. Don't let their scores influence you one way or the other. That's the real moral of the story.
I know, and people like to point that out, though. I'm not watching these individuals for their reviews. I'm watching IGN for its review, right?
Yeah.
There should be some kind of standardization because it's being published as this big, credible organization that has a bunch of employees, right? It's like, if I'm watching SkillUp, for example, right? It's like, oh yeah, I have a good idea of what he likes and doesn't like. And I've called him out on this very show for some of that bullshit, right? And like, if there's something that he doesn't like and it's in line with my expectations of him, I don't really think twice about it, right? But IGN is a collection of people that rotate and they hire and fire people all the time because it's a blog, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, all I have to go on is the IGN brand. They should have some fucking consistency, but they don't. They really don't.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's the just the issue of trying to make something like that into a fucking, I guess like a product or like a big scaled business. It's like game journalism probably just was never meant to be that. Or if it is, you at least hire people on with different tastes and different like genre and like spread your wealth that way. But then that would require one of these companies to actually like, you know, pay attention to who they're fucking hiring, which they're not going to do that.
Yeah, they're too busy chasing like the next like hot button issue story, right? And causing, you know, all this drama and cringe because they are really bad at it. And that actually brings me to another topic. So there's this game that released on Steam, right? It's called Librarian. This game, right? It's like a, I have it on screen. I'm going to put it in the show notes. It's like a $5, $6 game, right? The premise of the game is you're in some kind of arcane library and the books are all on the floor and you need to put them away. That's the game. It's kind of reminds me of like Goblin Cleanup or Visceral Cleanup Detail, where it's like, oh, you're cleaning a place, but it, instead of cleaning, you know, literal stuff off the ground, it's you're picking books up and organizing them like a librarian would, right? That's kind of neat. Cute little indie game, $6, you know, not controversial in the slightest. And it opened to very positive reviews, currently numbering at 6,349. Now, on Twitter, I saw at least one tweet. There are multiple tweets, but the one I saw first, it had 19,000 views, 337 likes, 15 retweets, which isn't a whole lot in the grand scheme of Twitter. But like, pointing out that this game has AI in it, right? And they're not hiding it. There's an AI disclosure on Steam. I want to read it to you, right? Tell me if this sounds awful. AI-generated content disclosure. The developers describe how their game uses generative AI content like this. Quote, the four assets in this work, one UI component, and three landscape paintings, as well as wall decorations, frames not included, were produced using additional AI for refinement. None of them were created by AI from the ground up. AI helped with grammatical corrections for in-game text, which were then carefully reviewed and adjusted by hand. We only consider AI to be a supportive tool. Every detail is meticulously crafted with human intent, as our creative process is still firmly anchored in manual craftsmanship. Where are the hit pieces?
Sounds like a decent game.
Where's the like, where's the proactive award show cancellations on them? Like, they have more AI than Expedition 33. More than Crimson Desert. But they don't even have, I can't even find a single negative review that's about that. In fact, the only negative review I could even find is from a colorblind person who's bitching about not being able to play it because the books are color-coded. Which, honestly, fair.
That's unfortunate.
That is fucking fair.
Yeah, it's fair. We're allowed to laugh. My dad's colorblind, and we have a friend who's colorblind, so...
That's just it's fucking wild. But it's like, you know, that's the kind of shit I would expect IGN to report on. But, like, I haven't even heard anything about this. Now, it's possible that they are avoiding covering a game like this that has a positive and seemingly ethical, if you can even claim that, use of AI. Because that would draw attention to the game and get its sales and signal that this is okay, right? Now, I think it's obviously okay. I don't even think AI is that harmful. I think a lot of the environmental concerns are just fear, uncertainty, doubt, and misinformation. What do I know? I only work in the industry, right? But, you know, people are going to believe what they want to believe, and they think AI is the work of the devil, or maybe they're Catholic.
I was going to say, you know, it's weird that they're, you know, you talk about work of the devil, because a lot of the crowd is always, you know, like the Reddit atheist equivalent. And so, you know, it's like, they've turned their own personal, like, trauma beliefs into a religion of sorts, like that same level of dogma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's interesting. So, anyways, I mean, you know, it's weird. I'm sure I've mentioned it on the show before, but, like, I'm old enough, I remember, like, when digital drawing tablets... Where the, like, how dare you not draw things by hand? Like, yes, you can erase lines that you fuck up without leaving marks on the screen.
I know.
Like, and it's not real. Oh, it's a fill tool? How dare you? Like, because really when we think about it, like, tools are supposed to just increase your, like, efficiency, realistically. Because you, like, going back to paint with the fill tool, right? Like, you could... fill each individual pixel with a color, or I hit the fill button.
I know, and it's like, I remember when I was in college, because I'm not quite old enough to remember this firsthand, but I remember when I was in college, I had a professor that recalled his recent time in the industry where that kind of same thing was happening with the drawing tablets, but it wasn't about drawing tablets. It was about Google, like search engines, right? It's like,
yeah.
Why would you look it up on a search engine and read somebody's blog post that's full of who knows what when you could go look it up in a textbook, you know? And it's like...
lo and behold, we found out textbooks weren't very reliable either.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there were some differences.
Well, some. I, the joke being, but yeah.
Well, you see, most American textbooks were made by a company called McGraw-Hill, which was owned by this lovely man named Robert Maxwell. Who had a daughter named Ghislaine. Never mind. It's a long story. Maybe they aren't that trustworthy.
Well, and then the other group were all Texas Instruments. Really Southerners.
Uh-huh.
In Canada, when we were growing up, I think every textbook was at the minimum 20 years old.
Oof.
And I remember we'd learn something in a textbook. I'd go home, and on the news, I'd get the exact opposite response. Or when we were in high school, and YouTube was starting to become like a big thing, all of a sudden, you know, I could go look up anything I was learning at school and realize that it was so out of date. They might as well not be fucking teaching us it.
Well, there's definitely some like, you know, some things.
Not always, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it exactly. It's like this. Honestly, it's just like there's like this need to be right, even if it doesn't make sense. Like, to definitively say that, oh yeah, what I'm saying is correct.
Yeah.
And so we end up with this like weird like dichotomy where, I don't know, it got away from me, guys. I'm sorry.
you're fine.
But, yeah, but we just end up with this weird like dichotomy where we got like the blog post thing that, you know, we were talking about with like the search engine stuff versus the textbook. And nobody wants to admit that they might have the wrong information, it seems like.
I remember the textbooks when I was in school, what's it called, for social studies. Once we, you know, finally got through enough of American history that it was like somewhat modern day, I could tell the books were old because they talked about Bill Clinton like he was just elected. And I'm just like, that was the 90s.
This is 90s.
it didn't go any further.
Well, yeah. And then there, and you know, having older textbooks it, at that point in time, I don't think was as big of a deal too, to be fair, because information just didn't move as quickly, right? Like we didn't have a Twitter where our literal sitting president is trading jabs with other world leaders.
Yeah, it just didn't play out that way.
You know, other people in the country he's running. Like, he said some, like, and I'm not, not
it's never
saying,
a dull moment.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he said some pretty deranged things. Like, no matter what you think about the guy, they really gotta take Twitter away from him.
He is, I think, quintessentially an old man.
Very old.
Like, he embodies the, okay, grandpa, I'm sorry I made you a Twitter account.
Yeah, dude, he they gotta get him off.
Yes, grandpa. I do know where these viruses came from, and yes, I won't tell grandma.
I know. At least, you know, the administration before him, they had the decency to, like, have some young people post for him, because he was too senile and old to work a phone.
Well, I think that one was a different problem, but yes. Can we just get, like, a normal leader? Just once.
Never. We don't do that around here.
Yeah, hey, if he's too normal, I don't know if I can trust him.
Yeah, look what happened to Canada.
Yeah, I mean, he was just a normal frat bro that went super liberal.
Kinda.
He's just a regular, everyday normal guy, and then it's like, oh, wait, my family lives in America, and I'm a banker. Oh, yeah.
I don't know, you guys just can't win in, like, oh, anything.
I mean,
either.
That's what we get for voting a Cuban in.
That's a deep cut. Not everyone's going to get that reference.
Yeah.
Well, they actually just had a fucking thing about that again, where I think it was Fidel Castro's daughter made a comment about it, where she's like, yeah, we're pretty certain.
We're pretty certain. That thing everyone suspects might be true.
That's hilarious. I was like, I'm sure she's fucking around, but on like an official, like, interviews, she says that's beautiful.
He's living his best Cuban life right now, right? Isn't he like dating Katy Perry or something? Like,
no, I think they broke up. I think that's old news though. Yeah,
she's gonna write a song about him.
No, that's Taylor Swift. Oh, speaking of musicians, so this is kind of pop culture-y. Speaking of musicians that had or that are getting around right now, Billie Eilish. James Cameron and her directed a Billie Eilish tour movie. Not even joking.
What?
That's a bit like out of James Cameron's wheelhouse too, isn't it?
Yeah, Billie Eilish. Oh, come on, search engine, just do the thing I want you to do.
I feel like there's been enough cautionary tales about directors and younger women.
Don't worry, she's an adult. We know this because she immediately, when she turned 18, she immediately released a blowjob video.
I didn't see that.
I did not know.
I'm 99% sure it was like, if I remember correctly, it was like Subway. And she may or may not have been 18 in the video.
Oh.
Please don't look it up, guys. It's not like, this is legitimately, this is a legitimately, I heard this and I have not looked myself, because there's no world where anybody looking at my search history at Billie Eilish blowjob video, may you barely legal, gonna be good.
Right.
Yeah. Even if it is me looking, even if I am just looking for, like, yeah, no. Anyways, so yeah, here we are from Cinemark.com. Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft, the tour.
Oh my goodness.
Directed by Billie Eilish and James Cameron. It's a 3D concert film. Oh yeah, James Cameron in some of the behind the scenes was just talking about how much he thought, wow, this is just such a new place for me to, you know, like, I never would have thought about doing music as a medium kind of thing. It's like, dude, please stop.
Come on, grandpa.
It's like, I had no idea music was art this whole time.
Well, it wasn't quite like that. It was
wow.
Well, okay, so back in ye olden days, bands would do tour videos. Right? Like, they would do video, like, movie length, feature film length videos of their tours. Kiss did them. I'm pretty sure Metallica did them.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Aerosmith probably did it too. Basically, if you're a rock band about that time, you did it.
Honestly, if you're just a bit older than that, Linkin Park used to do, like, I think every fucking tour they did, they turned into one.
Oh, sure, but they weren't releasing him on VHS. This is, like, really I think this is really trying to harken back to, like, the older things that James Cameron no doubt had in his home, or via his own or his parents. Like, that's the thing about it, where I was just, like, watching, like, the director comment. Like, and again, that commentary.
And how...
Jesus Christ, he's had five wives.
I was going to say, like, how, like, in the... Like, under the rock does he have to be? I almost said in the closet.
Oh, he's Canadian. Oh, that's the problem.
How under the fucking rock would you have to be for that? Because, like, I'm just thinking back, like, I never used to watch them, because, I mean, watching a full tour video, fucking, it's not fun. I'd rather just go listen to the fucking album, which I probably already owned, or I had other ways of finding, or whatever, right? But, like, it's not like I didn't know they existed. And he's in the industry.
Like, yeah. I could understand watching a behind-the-scenes tour video of a band that is either not very public or doesn't say a whole lot on social media. Because, like, for Billie Eilish, I don't fucking get it. Even if... if you're Billie Eilish, super fan.
Probably just super fans, right?
Well, the worst part is, this released... also, you know it's absolute shit. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes. 90 fucking 7. That's... This is like fucking...
Actually, didn't Taylor Swift's thing that she did like a couple years back also get really, really high scores?
Yeah, absolutely. But this
that's
is like...
That's gotta be artificial. That's gotta be people like they didn't 100%. Watch it that otherwise just love her music.
Out of 500 votes.
Yeah.
500 votes, 97%. I refuse to believe this. Anyways, yeah. This released on February 17th, actually. Huh. According to this, but that doesn't... I was watching... I don't know when it actually released. I don't actually care. Basically, this is competing with the Michael Jackson movie, which I do actually want to talk about that. Because that thing, okay, actual release date was May 8th for this. So yes, this is literally competing with the, what's his name? With Michael Jackson.
Wasn't the Michael Jackson movie, like, well-received by audiences and not by critics?
Yes. Basically, it's the usual thing. But I want to, so, this thing... the Michael Jackson movie, I want to be specific, kicked ass.
Right.
They did tone down a lot of the at-home abuse that his dad had, because, you know what, they're not looking for that. This is about Michael, this isn't about how shitty his dad was. They make sure to get it in there, don't get me wrong. We do see like a five-year-old Michael get his ass beat with his dad's belt. That does happen in the movie. And, but yeah, it's a fantastic movie. They did a great job with, like, the sound mixing when they do the song. We got, like, two or three full-length songs in the movie. So it kicked ass, like I said. And it's actually done so good. Michael Jackson's literally in the grave, has been in the grave for, like, 20 fucking years, right? And he is topping charts.
Yeah, I would have been young at the time, I believe. I don't remember how young, but...
In 2009, Dylan.
That's when he died?
Yeah.
2009, so 17.
Damn.
I apologize.
Yeah,
I was off by 3 years in my just rough guesstimation.
Because his music's that good. And
he's topping charts again, dude.
Because of the movie,
yeah, I was going to say, that's a weird way to say that. I never really listened to Michael Jackson when I was growing up. And then later on, after hearing a couple of like edits probably or something, the videos on social media anyways, I was like, you know what, I actually kind of like his fucking music. And then I started listening to him probably 10 years after he died.
I listened to a lot of Michael Jackson when I was a kid. My stepdad had really good taste in music, so
April top 10 Billboard. Golden, Huntrix,
fair enough.
Sign of the Times, Harry Styles.
That's because of the movie.
That is literally off the soundtrack of the movie. Number three, Billie Jean. Then we go down to Zoo by Shakira from Zootopia 2. Next, number five, Beat It, Michael Jackson. Number six, Soda Pop, Sasha Boys. Number seven, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, Michael fucking Jackson.
Which list is this? Billboard.
This is Billboard.
Right? But which
this
one?
Is Billboard top 10.
Top 10.
From last month, because they haven't done this month's. They'll do this month's in 2 days, basically. What I'm pointing out is, of the top 10, Michael Jackson's five fucking songs on the list. Four. 1, 2, 3, 4. My bad. Sorry. I thought I counted five originally.
I'm like on their website and I don't know where to look. You'll have to send me a link to that later.
Well, I'll just do it right now. It's easy. Oh, okay. We have the technology, Dylan.
We have the power.
There you go. It's in our Discord. So bam. Yeah, you're going to scroll down a little bit. It's about halfway
damn.
Down the article.
Okay.
But yes, Michael fucking Jackson is killing it, pun kind of intended, in 2026.
That's hilarious in a way. I had suspected, I haven't seen this movie, and I saw the dichotomy of the reviews between audiences and critics. And you know what I assumed?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if I'm crazy, right? I assumed the critics were going to pan this movie either way because they don't want to admit their complicity with slandering Michael's character while he was alive.
Well, he was a weird fucking dude.
Yeah, he was weird, but...
But we found out he wasn't in the fucking files.
He wasn't
right?
in, like, there's a reason he's not in the files, because he was an opponent for Jeffrey Epstein. Like, he was against those people. He
yeah,
tried
he
to
was.
Expose those people, and they probably silenced him.
That's probably where all the early pedophile allegations came from, if you think about
well,
it.
Well, no, yeah. I think it's because he liked hanging out with children. He just also was mentally still a child. Like, that's the exception. Like, in 2026, a man like Michael Jackson would be very well understood. But in the 90s? In the 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
We would, like, that's what we assumed predators behaved like. And some predators do, I have no doubt. But yeah, Michael Jackson just really was like a child in a man, grown man's body.
Also, I'm kind of shook to see, what is this, 1, 2, 3...
I mean, there are a shit ton of Demon Hunter songs
four,
on there.
Yeah, 4 Demon Hunter songs yes. on the top 10 as well. That's kind of crazy. Like,
yeah.
Wait, really?
Well... Yeah. From the movie, one of them, Sasha, to be fair. Well, I mean, it's not that Soda Pop's not good, but it's not the better one. The better, like, yeah. they...
Their other song was better.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was fucking called, but yeah, that one just kicked ass. But that, you know what?
That's why it's
you
on
know
the top
who listens?
You don't remember the name.
Oh, man, that does bother me. But yeah, but in fairness to Soda Pop, that's more for girls. I think the other one was more for everybody. There's somebody that's listening to this right now and, like, 10 years in the future, typing a comment to me right now. How dare you not know our Demon Overlord's music?
I had to look it up. It's Your Idol.
Your Idol, yes. Exactly.
I didn't know it either. I'm sorry. I like that song better than the other one.
I do like it better. But I think, in fairness, it's darker and such, so I think Your Idol's going to go better with the boys, where Soda Pop is going to go better with the teenage girls that, you know, are their target audience.
It's more like... Everybody can enjoy Soda Pop, but you're not going to enjoy Your Idol unless you watch the goddamn movie.
That's also true.
That's part of the problem, I feel.
Yeah. but yeah, anyways, music movies are doing good, as long as they're good. And, you know, to be fair to Billie Eilish, you know, for the fans of her and stuff, they absolutely got what they came for. You know, $10 million box office right now. As of like this week.
Here's my take on the whole superfan thing. Like, I'm gonna compare two bands or multiple bands that I like. Right. Let's say some director as out of touch as James Cameron or whoever it was. Right. Who was the director? Was it James Cameron?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. James Cameron.
I thought I was getting confused for a second. No. So let's say James Cameron wanted to do more of these, and he had a bunch of them in the works or something. And so one of my favorite bands, you know, of course, Sleep Token. Right? They are super mysterious. Their social media is completely in character and they don't talk outside much at all. Right? They've done one paper interview and one Dremio interview. That's it. I would absolutely go to a theater for a behind the scenes show of that. But like, let's take Mander James Keenan. He's the singer for Tool, Perfect Circle, and Pucifer. I'm actually wearing a Pucifer shirt right now. I love that band, right? I don't know if I would go to the theater for behind the scenes of those three bands, even if they're all in one movie, because I could just go watch Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Mander James Keenan has been a guest like 4 or 5 times, 3-hour episodes. Like, there's oh, not Jesus. A whole lot more to gain. Right. So it's like, depending on the situation, I could totally understand. But like,
well, Billie Eilish is Billie talking Eilish? An awful fucking lot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she's pretty infamous for not shutting her fucking mouth.
Yeah. Being, well, I mean, it could be worse. It could be like Chappell Roan, right? Like,
well, isn't, I was going to say, isn't Billie Eilish the you can't be illegal on stolen land, bitch?
She did say that.
Okay.
And she lives in a mansion on stolen land, which is really funny.
Well, yeah, she's essentially a Nepo baby, right? Like, She's never known struggle in her life.
Chappelle Roan is so much worse because she grew up basically rich, but lies about it. She's like, oh, I grew up in a trailer park. But then people found out where she grew up, and it's like this really lovely, like 6-bedroom house.
Oh, right? Like, what is she, fucking AOC, but music?
Yeah, basically. It's like she actually grew up, you know, relatively wealthy, took yearly vacations to Italy, right?
It's really fucking funny, actually.
And, but she'll go on and say a bunch of dumb shit like, men can't make art. And it's like, oh, lady, damn. Your entire aesthetic is drag, which is a male aesthetic, you know, in the style of women, but like.
Well, yeah, it's male, but
still,
drag queens understand that you can't just throw on a fucking dress and call it good. Like, well, a man wearing dresses have to spend a little bit more effort making it look right because they're not shaped to their fucking body.
But I don't think she cares about that nuance because she doesn't think men can make art. So, like.
Yeah, she's a fucking retard.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, speaking of retards, we should talk about Destiny 2. It's finally shutting down.
Oh.
So, I forget the name of Bungie's CEO, the guy with all the sports cars.
Nah, I don't give a shit.
He's all out of sports car money. They're not making any more expansions for Destiny 2. And I don't think he's going to sell sports cars.
No, he's going to get himself a happy golden parachute I don't know what their fucking plan is.
It's really unclear. Like,
right. Well, so they don't have Destiny 3 in the pipe, right? They don't have anything in the pipe other than More Marathon, which is going free to play next week for a week for their new season. So I will bite the bullet, everybody. I'm going to announce. Yeah, I'm going to commit here, right here in the podcast. I'm going to put at least 10 hours into Destiny.
Marathon.
Marathon. I wanted to say Destiny 3, and then I was like, no. And I wanted to say Concord 3. No. So, Marathon. I'm going to put at least 10 hours into Marathon next week. Assuming my eyes don't bleed from all the neon fucking green.
Oh my god, I looked at the Steam DB chart for Marathon and zoomed out to the max. Oh my god, that is a curve.
Yes.
That is a bad curve.
Well, it gets worse when they're killing Destiny. Well, not Destiny. They're not killing Destiny. That would imply that, you know, Destiny wasn't already on the chopping block. Like, let's be realistic. Sony wasn't making Destiny die because Marathon did poorly. Destiny would have died either way.
Get your hands off my wife, Bungie. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It's such a funny topic, and it released on her damn birthday too. It's the funny thing. We've told that story before.
I was gonna say she's outlived it.
She was here before the franchise, and well, now she's gonna be here after. It did not stand the test of time. So for the dear listener at home, maybe listening to our podcast as a, you know, a time capsule again, Marathon launched on March 5th, 2026 to 86,000 concurrent players, which for a multiplayer PvP only game is an important metric, right? This is not a game that you buy and put in your backlog, right? It is a multiplayer only game. So on Steam, 86,000 at launch. And we heard from an insider leak in some article somewhere that I'm not going to go find that Steam is the majority, right?
Yeah, it's 70% according to their insider. Uh-huh. I think it was a Jason Schreier article, so we can trust it.
Yeah. Point is that they're not recouping this in the console market, right? And now, so 88,000, not 86, 88 was their max, their peak. And right now there's 11,000 people online.
Oh, yeah, it's not good. And, you know, they also... One thing that companies have to start doing, I think, is punishing the dipshits for speaking. Like, I don't know if your company does. My company does. But does your company have a rule about your social media presence?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Several.
And some dipshit... It does not have, like, these companies do not have social media rules, clearly. Otherwise, dipshit, or like, they might, technically, but there's no real punishment. Otherwise, dipshits wouldn't keep doing this, where they go on social media and they say dumb shit that directly affects the company, right? Like,
so happened to Highguard, like...
Well, Highguard, I don't remember, well, Highguard said, I think it was Highguard, but I also think it was echoed by a Bungie developer, saying that, oh, player counts don't matter. Mm-hmm. They absolutely fucking matter. Right? Like,
maybe if you're like an indie developer building a passion project, like, and it only costs you like your time mostly, like at that point, yeah, sure, maybe. But not for the kind of dev these guys are.
Well, okay, if you're building yourself a happy little Stardew Valley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Player counts don't actually matter. If you're building yourself right. a live service, massively multiplayer game, player counts matter. Like, the day that PlanetSide 2 dips below, like, you know, like 50 players at peak, they're going to have to look at shutting down the game. They just will. Yeah. Like, the day that it, like, that's, like, their 3-month consistency is, like, 50 players peak, they're going to have to look at shutting down the servers because it won't be able to sustain itself. It has nothing to do with making money at that point, because I don't think PlanetSide 2 makes money, but there's no reason
nobody,
to keep
nobody
it open.
There, right?
Right.
It's like...
Right.
Like, the game doesn't function as a single-player game. It doesn't function as a... Hell, it doesn't even really function as a fucking museum.
No.
Like there wouldn't be much to go back to otherwise, right?
Right, and same thing with, like, Marathon. So, Marathon, player counts 100% matter. Also, you know, I'm going to explain it in a, like, in a way that I think that men specifically can understand. Being seen with an attractive woman makes you more desirable, in the same way that higher player counts make the game look more desirable to the audience. Like, if I go to a game, and I'm like, man, that game looks cool, it's got some mixed reviews, let me see how many people are regularly playing it. Do I, if it's a multiplayer game, that's what I'm going to look at. Because I'm going to look at...
That's how I pick, if I'm looking for, like, MMOs, so when we went, each time we went back to New World... If the player count didn't jump on a release, I probably would have been like, oh, guys, let's not do that.
Right.
Which is almost never not going to happen. But the point was that, like, I know well enough that if people didn't go back, I'm only going to be playing with the guys that, you know, stuck around for whatever ungodly reason, stuck around for as long as they did. And I know better. I just know better. I ain't doing that.
Yeah. And, like, you know, it's not... That I necessarily, I understand that, like, below a certain, it's really below a certain number, right? Like, below, that's why I use PlanetSide as an example. Like, 10,000, 11,000, well, it's not going to keep the lights on Bungie, because, like, in the broader aspect, that's what we're talking about, is, like, Destiny 2 shut down. They kind of released some vague, we got something in the pipe kind of sound in Twitter post, and then when Jason Schreier dug underneath, he's like, he's, according to him, his Bungie insider, they have nothing in the pipe. No, like, they killed off, I think they had, like, a couple of Destiny 2 expansions that were just silenced or something like that. Don't quote me on that, I could be wrong. No Destiny 3 in the pipe. No other projects in the pipe. This Season 2 of Marathon is basically all they've got right now, because Sony has no faith in Bungie and hasn't greenlit a single fucking project for the past, like, 2-3 years. Like, Marathon was in the tube for... like 5 or 6 years, some bullshit like that.
What a coincidence. I don't have faith in Sony either.
Well, I was gonna say, well, no, we don't, right? Like, you mentioned that with Sony earlier on, like, you know, maybe selling your PlayStation. Like, unironically, Xbox has gone from in the grave to clawing their way out of the grave and kind of standing on top of Sony in a, what, month? 2 months? I forget when the new CEO got hired to the job, but, like, basically they got rid of the jackass that was in charge. Was that Phil Spencer? Yeah, so they got rid of Phil Spencer, who was, I don't know, huffing glue between, you know, lines of blow. They got somebody in there who's like, all this AI shit's gotta go, dude. We gotta make our games affordable again. She does that and immediately just... does nothing else and lets Sony continuously shoot themselves on the foot. Like, Sony overspent on Bungie. They're in the tank for, you know, they're in the red for them. They, you know, they got a big tax windfall over it, basically. But, like, that's not the answer you actually want. Like, the actual answer you want when you buy property or a product is for the as a company is for the product to make you money or in some way be a net positive. Bungie was 3/4 of a million, what is it, $765 million deficit, basically. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, I'm so thankful that Xbox is turning it around at this current moment. Because think about it. I was going to lose faith in Sony either way. There's no coming back. If Xbox was still in that same rut that they were in like a couple months ago, what alternative would I have for a living room console? I'd probably have to get a Switch too. Which,
or you'd have to get an older, you could have gotten a used older like Xbox, because I think Xbox firmware pretty much works indefinitely, in perpetuity, right? Like,
yeah, but like I wasn't thinking about that until they started turning their image around, right? Because like I don't currently own any physical Xbox games. It would be easy for me to leave them behind, whereas I already have a collection of Switch games. Right?
Honestly, you could have done something like stuck with an older PS4 or even downgraded to a PS3 that just be a DVD machine, right?
I mean, yeah, but...
Or a Blu-ray machine, I guess. Sorry. Sometimes the old verbiage slips out.
At that point, I might as well just get a Blu-ray player that doesn't do any games.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, you might. For a little while, I don't know if you still got it out there. I haven't looked at what's in the, in your entertainment center, but, like, you had that... cheap computer out there that could handle most of the things.
True.
And that would probably be a more appropriate thing to do if you needed to, build a cheap computer out of spare parts you've got lying around.
It's definitely on my mind, because like with all these parts getting more expensive, it's like I look at that old PC and I'm like, I should fix that.
Honestly, I kind of think about it too, because like I've got my last computer, right? Like I'm like, it's not that broken. And really, the most of it's just general maintenance, cleaning it out, reapplying thermal paste, maybe replacing a few of the fans. Really basic shit.
But I remember I was talking this over with a friend of mine in person the other day. And it's like, when it comes to the Switch 2, I honestly, completely honest, I totally understand how a Nintendo-only gamer might live a full and satisfied life with video games. Now that the Switch 2 is out, it really does do it all. I mean, obviously besides a Blu-ray player, but like, that's not really video game related. But like, I get it. This friend of mine that I was talking to recently acquired a Switch 2 and has been really impressed, right? And it's very premium. I felt it in my hand. Like, my son has one. So like, I could totally understand like why I might have gone that route. But again, with Xbox coming out of the grave and deciding they want to be competitive again, I'm waiting with great anticipation for their announcements next week. They might not even announce their console, and I might just go get a Series X and wait, because it's probably going to be expensive.
I am interested in what Project Helix actually is, or yeah, it's Helix, right? Not Helios.
It
sorry. I was like, both of them are appropriate for me to praise my fossil. But yes, that's a meme that will never die. Not as long as I'm alive. I don't know. That was such an interesting time in life. Like, not to derail us too hard, but
no, let's hear it.
Like, the Twitch plays Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, that was such an interesting like time of life, because the novelty wore off pretty quickly, right? Like, Twitch plays Pokemon, it was back in, what, 2015, 2014, something like 2014. Yeah, it would have been 2014. Maybe even 2013. Whatever. Mm-hmm.
It was a long time ago. The before times. Back when the life was simpler.
Well, before Twitch had really popped off, right? Like, I mean, it did during that, make no mistake, but it wasn't like...
That was one of the bigger events of the time, yeah?
Yeah, and, for those who aren't aware, is basically it was an old Red vs. Blue emulated, and Twitch chat entered commands. There were some rules around it. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty.
But Pokemon doesn't have any terminal states. There's no go back to main menu button. Like,
right.
You can wipe out and you'll revive. So,
yeah. So like basically they were trying to see if Twitch chat and its insanity could brute force its way through Pokemon. And it did. More or less. Like, again, I'm not going to get into the gritty of it. We'll just say it did. It did brute force its way through. And
the party didn't make sense. A lot of important Pokemon were let go. All the Pokemon were nicknamed like gibberish, and there was a following outside the game. Like
there was an absolute following. Reddit was not quite a cesspool yet, so it had its thing, and they went through some other generations, some other iterations of it, and all that. There were some other attempts at Twitch plays. I think there were some before Pokemon too, but Pokemon was where it popped the fuck off.
Oh yeah.
And it was an event. you know, I'm the government's not going to get me for this one. I was like skipping out on work to watch it. dude, well, it was important to me, right? Like,
right.
I bought into the memes. Like, I was drinking the Kool-Aid with how ridiculous it was. How, you know, I was in the chat participating at the very end. I was there when they beat the Elite Four and whatever we called.
I think we actually all were too, because like I think we were sitting in Discord.
I wasn't sitting actually, in Discord.
That might have been before Discord. I think
no, it was during my work day.
Yeah, Discord was 2015, so this was before that.
Yes. This was during my workday. I would not have been. This was before. Don't quote me on it, because I'm sure some people like with jailbroken phones could do it, but I'm pretty sure like iPhones and such didn't have any like TeamSpeak or anything like right. that access. Yeah. I mean, obviously everything's all cell phone based now, but this is 2013, 2014. Not ever like the internet traffic was not designed for cell phones yet, not completely. Like we were in a weird gray space where some websites were seeing the future and some websites were not. And so, yeah, it was interesting. But yeah, it was such a cultural thing because like we, you know, were canonizing almost literally, right? Like we were literally making like religion level mythos around everything. And
tying it all together. It was really, it was a fun time.
Yeah, like, you know, we had, when we released a shit ton of Pokemon, we called it Bloody Sunday. Because it happened on a Sunday. Second generation, I think, went really well, too. Because one of the neat things that they did in their emulator is, guy went through the code, and he made the red team because in Gen 2 you beat the Elite Four, you get access to the previous area, and then at the very end of it you could go fight red or whatever. And so we went and had a battle with ourselves basically from the first one, including the team that he had at the time.
Honestly, it's such a cool idea.
Yeah,
I don't think he told anyone he was doing it either. It just happened and we were wait a minute.
It was such a hype fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we raffle stomped ourselves, but, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah. Them's the breaks. It was not a great team, all things kids.
Well, yeah, and in Gen 2, I think our team was significantly better. I think we managed to keep our starter We did not manage to keep our starter in...
No, not for long. Actually, it was really... I think
it was pretty early on. She was still Charmeleon. Abby the Charmeleon. Well, I think it was A-B-B-B-B-B-B, so we just nicknamed it Abby.
Yes.
ATV, the Venomoth, All-Terrain Venomoth.
All-Terrain Venomoth, oh my fucking god.
Yeah, ATV, the Dragon Slayer, because Lance's Dragonite fell to ATV's Poison Powder, I think. Because ATV had no offensive moves whatsoever. So ATV basically just sat there and let Dragonite slowly bleed to death, fundamentally. And so, yeah, we had...
I have such a faint memory of Twitch Plays Pokemon, but this is all coming back to me. Like, I feel like I knew
isn't
this.
Isn't it great?
I feel I knew this, but I couldn't recall it myself. Like,
and actually, on my phone, up until the everything failed for the website, there was a basically a Magic 8-Ball website that had the... button inputs plus Magic 8-Ball for any question you ask. It was consult the fossil. And so, you know, you'd be like, hey, am I going to get a promotion at work? Up.
Fucking excellent.
So, yes. Anyways, that massive tangent was just so we could relive history real quick. Because, honestly, a lot of things are super fucking depressing with, like, I'm just talking about media stuff. I'm not even getting into, like, geopolitics, right? Like, Star Wars, not even Pedro Pascal can bring it back from the deep end.
I know. Like, it's so funny. So I saw that movie, right? And I've seen, like, a couple advertisements for the movie saying it's the number one movie in the world. But, like, I nobody's talking about that movie on the internet.
I refuse to believe it's the number one movie in the world. I think Michael Jackson is still beating it.
It's like, now, to be fair, when I went to go see it in the theater, it was full. It was a packed theater, right? And it was just last weekend that it came out, right? I saw it on Monday. I was just ripping CDs the whole time, right? Now, I will say, my kids loved it, Right. Because the scenario that they go through involves lots of droids as enemies, so they just let the Mandalorian go full Doom Guy. He's the Doom Guy for robots. And my kids were enthralled. They're like, oh my God, he's so cool. Look at him shoot stuff. Right? Like, they didn't really care. Like, they didn't see the whole show. They only watched the first couple episodes. I couldn't get them to pay attention to the whole show. But yeah, they were fine with the movie. The movie explains what's going on well enough that you don't need to have really watched the show, except for the first couple episodes, to be like, why does he have a baby?
Yeah.
Right.
And
as long as you know that,
it's
enhanced
because they've got a lot of member berries in there, I've heard.
I heard the same thing, and I went in expecting member berries, but there wasn't that many. I gotta admit, I expected more. Like, there was a part where I'm like, hey, this would be a really good time for, like, a Force Ghost Yoda to show up and talk to the kid. Didn't happen.
No. It's only of Filoni's characters. Like it's pretty, it's okay, been pretty well documented at this point because of Filoni's
but you
love of his own characters.
I guess, but they were minor characters. Like, for example, we had Zeb, who was that was Stephen Bloom's character from Rebels. But yep, like, he was already in the show, right? So it's like, it wasn't that weird to see him have
Zeb
a minor role.
Zeb was not
role
in Mandalorian and Grogu. Or Mandalorian, sorry.
Yeah, he was in season three. He was in season three.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I forget that season three even happened, honestly.
Season three was pretty bad. but he was in it. He cameoed in it, and they knew each other. So it wasn't that weird that Zeb was along for the ride, but he was more of a chauffeur. But like, you think if David Filoni is doing all that, you would expect to see like Ahsoka at least, right? Because that's like,
well,
his favorite
Ahsoka's
thing.
Well, Ahsoka's still in the wrong galaxy,
right?
She
is. So she did not appear in the movie. There are rumors that he tried to get her into the movie, and then the other execs said no. But that's probably not true. I don't really know that for sure.
I would believe it, though.
It's very
the believable. The other John Favreau is like, stop being a retard.
But like, David Filoni made several cameo appearances as well as X-Wing and Fire Pilot. But like, otherwise, it's mostly just droids. Like, oh, like literal battle droids from Clone Wars were there. And they look so much more intimidating when they have fucking cloaks. Like not turn invisible cloak. I mean, like they look like they just came out of Game of Thrones.
Dun 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 dun.
They can't feel the temperature, but like they wear them to, because they're on a muddy planet. They don't want to get their shit all gunked up, right?
Well, so, makes sense. They've got to still move.
They look fucking cool, and they had super battle droids. You know, watch those wrist rockets. You know,
oh god,
those were there. Those are not David Filoni's characters, though. Those are in the prequels, just straight
up. No, yeah, but you and I know those don't count. Right. It's his characters that are the darlings. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying mm-hmm. you can't have your darlings, right?
I'm just saying it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be for the member berries, right?
Good.
I was pleasantly surprised that there was a lot less of that. Now, there was one character that I did not recognize. It was a bounty hunter that was chasing him. It ended up being a major antagonist whose name is never said, and he's got like a funny hat. It's not the blue guy. That guy died in the
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know. Oh, wait, do you think it was he tall and lanky?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's one of the famous bounty hunters from the bounty hunter crew. I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head. Yeah, he can Kung Lao his hat, or Captain
yeah,
America.
Yeah, 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 that guy.
It's Captain American. Yeah, he can. That's Dave Filoni's favorite bounty hunter. He should have died like 1,000 times in the Clone Wars series. And just refused to die. Like, he literally gets into a fist fight with Maul's brother with nothing but his hat.
So that guy was in the movie, and he was really cool. But like, I didn't know who he was. My stepdad was with me. I leaned over and I'm like, who the hell is that? And he's like, oh, he was in the Clone Wars. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, we just moved on from there, and it didn't bother me after that. But like, it was okay. Like, they went
Embo.
Out
okay,
of their way.
That's his name.
Okay. Like, it's like they went out of their way to not fuck it up.
They
took
yeah.
no risks with this movie, and it was fine.
He's never going to kill Embo. I think Embo is more of his darling than Ahsoka.
That's hilarious.
But
he did Kung Lao that hat. Like,
oh, absolutely. No. He's literally, like, in the series, there's been more than one time he, like, arrests his mid-air forward momentum to do a spin and swing the hat. Mm-hmm. Like, if he doesn't, he has to have the Force. Like, there's no way he doesn't.
It's gotta be.
But yes, Imbo is absolutely his darling. He's like the only one that's never truly been at threat out of all the bounty hunters. Like, he never really cared. Like, there's that whole bounty hunter crew that Boba Fett ends up taking over in the Clone Wars series. Yeah, Imbo's part of that.
Okay.
But all of them are pretty much immortal. Like, I literally think none of them ever really get shot, even. Like, they're, yeah. Part of the problem, too, is sometimes they're up against, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin, so it's just like isn't this a little fun, way to kill time for a bit? Because they're up against each other. But this is back, in fairness, though, there is a sense of danger, because this is back in the era of, like, Hondo being an actual threat and not a campy fun loud guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they do so many weird things in Star Wars.
They do. It's kind of hard to keep up. And it's like, Disney is still trying to salvage it. I think they might have made their money back at this point. But it's like, it's such a mess. Like, they have more work to do to explain how the sequels are canon, right? And a lot of the stuff that they've been making lately has been in service of exactly that. Like, that's the reason why the Mandalorian show and a lot of the other stuff that they've made is between the sequels... the original series and the beginning of the sequels. Like, they have a lot of explaining to do in that part of the timeline for the sequels to even remotely make sense. And I think they're going to be catching up forever. Like, at some point, they need to fork it, and they need to come up with some timeline bullshit. But the original actors are all dying off, and the only one left is Han and Luke, right? Like, they can't do another one.
Yeah, and I don't know if you want to use Mark Hamill anymore either.
No, Mark Hamill is like
another man who
he's really obnoxious on the internet with his commentary. Yeah, he should retire.
Yes, another person, another old man who needs to fucking retire, dude.
Yeah,
I don't understand it. Genuinely, I don't understand everybody's idiocy.
He's famous and has a platform, so he's going to use his voice, and he opens his mouth, and nothing intelligent comes out. Many such cases. That would be a good episode title. Many such cases. I like that.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyways, we're having a lot of fun here, guys.
Yeah. So I wanted a short episode, especially because it's a holiday for Victim. Is what's it called? Path of Exile Day, right?
Yeah.
What is that even? Like, why do so many people log in for Path of Exile when new seasons start? Like, what is the significance?
I think the best way to explain it is people like to call it the ARPG genre. I'm old. I like to call it the dungeon crawler, even though someone's going to be like, oh, but you barely go through any dungeons. I don't give a fucking shit. All right. God damn it.
Okay.
Old man Victim here. No, but either way, but you know, the Diablo 1s, the Diablo 2s, Sacred, Divinity, all those old ARPGs were beloved. People loved them. You don't really get that anymore in the modern day. And to be fair with you, Path of Exile 1 and 2 aren't quite that, but they kind of sit in this weird in-between where they're not Diablo 3, they're not Diablo 4, and they're not like any of like the Torchlight, they're not any of the really modern action or ARPGs that are like kind of garbage, honestly. I know there's a lot of fans of Torchlight, but even that was not a great game, honestly. I hear Minecraft Dungeons, oddly, is not that bad, but I've never played it, so I can't say.
I have played it. It's okay.
I played it in the arcade, and it's fine. Yeah. It's very clearly there to take your money, though.
Well, the console release is not like that. There are several differences from the arcade. I've played both. But I'm not interested in Minecraft Dungeons, but I hear a second one is coming out soon. I might get that, because there's this sort of like missing out bit of like not having played at launch, because it's one of those games that gives you, I guess, kind of like Path of Exile, it gives you something to come back for,
okay, you know,
and play. And it's just like I missed the boat on Minecraft Dungeons, and my kids are interested in Minecraft still, so it's like, oh, maybe Minecraft Dungeons 2 would be something good to get into at day one. But Path of Exile, tell me more.
Yeah, but so Path of Exile 2, it's still in early access. This is actually the last early access patch before the launch, and they decided to just drop a fuckload of shit. I'm still quite pissed off with the game, because there's a lot of optimization and a lot of like weird bits and bobs that like have been broken since early access launch that they just haven't fixed.
And like one of our friends is just constantly crashing, and apparently there's a new bug this patch where if you crash, it may just straight up corrupt your game files and you have to reinstall.
That sounds awful.
It's like there's a lot of hiccups, there's a lot of bullshit, but I will say I grew up being a Diablo 1 and Diablo 2 fan. I really, really hated Diablo 3, and I actually really hated Path of Exile 1. And I put 200 hours into Path of Exile 1, so I'm allowed to say I didn't like it.
You could put I put 1 minute into Path of Exile 1, and I'm going to tell you I didn't like it either.
Yeah, it's just one of those ones where like the complexity is fine. I have been making my own builds in Path of Exile 2. So like if you need an example here, like that wasn't ever my problem. My problem was just that it was a very fireworksy game. A lot of the times damage came from fucking nowhere in certain boss fight segments, where it became more of a you need to trial and error this enough times. You need to read a guide, because if you don't, you just like some things just didn't work together and you would never figure it out unless you trial and errored it. But then, oops, your character's borked because it costs a fucking arm and a leg to reverse any fucking things you did to it. Or at least back in the day. I know they made it a little better later on. But Path of Exile 2, they did a lot better with that. You just need fucking gold, which is pretty much the only thing you fucking use gold for is respecking. So it's like really nice. They fixed a lot of that. Fucking, I don't know. I could go on for a long fucking time probably about like what's bad and what's good. But I think realistically, Path of Exile 2, I think, is just becoming more of a deliberate game. Like, I know what's attacking me. I know what I'm attacking. I get it. Even if sometimes they call it screen cancer, where like certain builds just have so much fucking going on, you can't see what's going on. I like to call it the happy fun time fireworks builds, where they're meant to satisfy kids with ADHD. yeah, I don't know. I guess that's kind of where that sits. It's like, I guess if there's anyone out there that's still on the fence, it's a fun game. Honestly, probably do some research on your machine and what parts you got to make sure they don't somehow conflict. Like my 9070, my RX 9070, if you run Vulkan, the shaders will corrupt themselves and you just can't play the game. Which apparently isn't entirely the game's fault, but it's just one of those moments where if I had done my research, I would have known how to fix that ahead of time, which I guess is just swapping to DX12. But either way, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vic, how could you not know how to play your game?
Yeah, really.
This is your fault, actually. You know, the curse of PC.
I know better because there was another game that we tried to play recently that had an issue with 9070, and Forza 6, I mentioned earlier, apparently the issue I'm having is also my 9070. So it's just one of those moments where I probably should know better at this point, that it's such a weirdly cutting edge card that these studios just haven't caught up with. And I should probably just do my fucking research first now. For at least a couple months to a year, I'd say. But
yeah. Well, you know, my card will be here eventually and it's my 9070.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess my warning is it is a little bit too new infrastructure-wise, and not a lot of games have fully caught up. Because it works differently than other AMD cards, right?
I was going to say, but how can we be behind? Like, it's not too new. It shouldn't be too new. It's not, like, they've already had the next generation, haven't they? Not for AMD, but I mean for...
Oh.
Because AMD, like, this was... competition with the 40 series, right?
Well, I mean, who knows? Like, I know today NVIDIA, Microsoft, and a couple other accounts associated have posted cryptic messages about some new age PC announcement soon. And it's probably going to be some obnoxious, like, I can't believe it's a real PC, like, lightweight bullshit that, with the internet connection, connects you to a powerful AI cluster.
I mean, NVIDIA just partnered with a company to put fucking data centers outside people's homes, little mini data centers.
Oh, yeah, they look like little fans, kind of like the heat split that I have at my house. I saw that. That's an interesting concept.
If it's true, if it's everything they said is true, it's actually kind of interesting, because apparently they're going to pay you, and all they're using is your extra electricity, assumedly. Obviously,
but is this fucking honey? But Microsoft,
I know.
Yeah, NVIDIA honey, right there, dude. Hell yeah!
I understand the power draw concept. I understand why they would want to do that. But like, how are they networking them together? Like, if they're using RDMA, they would have to be connected with some pretty fast fucking internet cables.
Yeah, I don't trust this. Also, I don't want them to have a direct line to my goddamn house, right? Like, I know they already technically do, but you know what I mean.
Like, it's a little far-fetched. I could see it working if certain things were true, but, like, I don't know enough about how they're doing it. It could be done, is all I'm saying. It's just, it sounds a little crazy.
Yeah, I know. You know, an open, what is it? An open mind is like a gate with its, or a fortress with its gates unbarred, and it's, I forget what the quote is, damn it. The librarian from Dawn of War. Open mind is like a fortress with its doors unbarred and its gates open, or something like that. It's something great, but yes. Also, I like the, it's that same principle, though, right? Like, you know, if I've got, like, I don't mind. Again, like, it goes back to the thing. It makes sense if you have the stuff for it and all that, but it just feels not good to have somebody be like, "Oh yeah, you know what? I'm not using my computer right now. Why don't you, company that I totally trust, utilize my computer while I'm at work or something?"
Back in my day, we called that folding at home. And it was for cancer research.
Or searching for fucking new stars or some shit.
Mm-hmm. And now it's to power, you know, people's AI girlfriends or whatever the fuck, right?
Oh, well, yeah, that's because that's what it's going to be for. It's going to be for basically their AI needs.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody totally just uses AI for normal research methods.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a growing catalog of people utilizing AI for literally everything else. The most ethical way to consume porn.
Yeah. I will say, though, if it ends up not being too bad, much of a hitch, because realistically, let's be real, how are they gauging what's my extra electricity? That sketches me out a little bit. And also, there's the issue of, is it going to actually work for them? Are they going to go back on it in a month?
Also,
but the idea is that they will pay you money to have it. Like, it costs you nothing to own.
I mean, so long as the additional power draw. I know it says extra, but like...
Yeah.
I'm assuming there'll be some additional power draw on your power bill.
So you probably pay for it a little bit in your power bill. But then apparently, I have no idea how true any of this is. The chart that was provided was like them giving like $22,000 to the household over I think it was a year.
Mm-hmm.
$22,000? Okay. Well, you know what? I'm all on board now.
Yeah, I might have the number a little wrong, but the idea was that it more than offset the extra cost.
Maybe. Well, $2,200 would be offsetting the cost. $22,000 would be enough money that you can no longer be on food stamps if you're in America.
Yeah, I was about to say, to be fair, that does sound like a bit of a ridiculous number.
Move over, Andrew Yang. Here comes NVIDIA with UBI.
I mean, basically, dude.
That would be hilarious.
It's just a little tick for tack, but like, that's a life-changing amount of money for nothing.
But yeah, either way, though, the point, though, is it's just like, it sounds really too good to be true.
It does.
And I bet you it's also something that I didn't see them talking about. It's probably only available to certain communities. Probably more than likely, like tech giant cities. Like, you're probably not going to go get this out and fucking somewhere in the middle of Alabama.
Yeah, no, city of industry, California. Shit like that.
Actually.
Or Washington or Seattle, rather.
Well, no. They're building data centers in bumfuck nowhere. As long as you're close to one, that's probably a qualifier.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. That is a good point. But that's the issue, though, right? You have to be close to one of these data centers, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, no, energy costs are too damn high in our state for them to be doing it here.
Dude, I'm so glad I got solar panels when I did. God damn.
Yeah,
my power bill last month was $30. The month before that, $200. Before that, it was $400.
Yeah, dude, they're... Yeah, no, the energy companies are... Yeah. So
next month, it'll be zero.
Yeah, I was going to say, so listeners, so you understand what's happening in our community is, the statewide community, not just the community, the neighborhood or whatever. They, the powers that be, the private company that owns all of our power infrastructure, has decided that they're going all green. This was the year that they're doing it. Mm-hmm. However, in this magic thing of going green, they don't have the infrastructure to support it.
So, in the rule of supply and demand, supply has hit the floor. Demand is unchanged.
Yeah.
Therefore, everyone is paying extra several hundred on their power bill.
Yeah, yeah. It's an incredibly stupid plan.
I was sold solar panels by a traveling salesman who said, hey, the private company that that has a monopoly on power in this area is going to go green and it's going to fuck everyone over. You should get a solar panel. Also, there's a tax break that you could take advantage of that makes it almost free. And I was like, that's a great idea. And then I did it. And then I got a $20,000 tax return. And then I only spent like $4,000 of it on the solar panels and pocketed the rest. And then I had to pay it off later with money I didn't want to spend. But they're paid off. And
yeah.
And from now until probably February, my power bill will be zero because the days are longer in the Northern Hemisphere as we go into summer. Sun sets at 10 p.m. I'm generating power. Fuck everybody else. Sorry, Rick.
I live in an apartment.
Well, I guess, yeah, the cost is distributed. But
yeah. Well, also, more specifically, like, I would argue they should invest in solar.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do I know?
The residents aren't going to be on the roof. It doesn't need to look nice.
Well, also, solar panels don't look like shit or anything. Like, they get the nice all-weather covering, right? Like, the black covering. Looks fine.
And then you can put them on every building, and you can generate enough credits with the power company that you can just offer free electricity to all your residents, and you can mark it up on their rent as an amenity.
Yep, absolutely.
Which is what they would do, which is kind of greedy, but...
It is. They would make more money out of it, but I don't particularly care.
You wouldn't have a power bill. You'd probably save money.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they make a little bit more money and you only spend, or at the end of the day, net like comparison, you're paying less money, then why the fuck not?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone wins technically.
Well, but that would be too easy.
It would be all too easy. So I promised it'd be a short episode, and I want Vic to get back to his religious holiday of Path of Exile Day. So I think I'm just going to end it there.
Hoping and praying the game doesn't crash.
Hoping and praying. So that being said, if you'd like to send us a Boostergram, I did check. They weren't any to read. Check us out on Fountain FM. That is my podcasting app of choice, and it's got this wonderful feature called Boostergrams, but that's actually part of the Podcasting 2.0 initiative. There's plenty of podcast apps that will actually do that feature if you're interested. So check it out. Otherwise, that's all, folks. Have a good rest of your day.
Bye.